All right. I too just want to thank Tom real quick for the invitation to be up here today. Well, we'll just start right where he left off. How's that sound? The thing I'm really thinking about today is, you know, just like you said, we only receive the benefit that God wants us to have by not just knowing his word, but by believing it, you know. And this is such a great truth here that, you know, verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. You know, when we got born again, we received the Spirit of God. And it's for more than just speaking in tongues and interpreting and doing that stuff. It's a strength within us now to help us endure things, you know. Just like a few records that Brian went to in the book of Acts and in the Gospels where there was opposition, where the God of this world, you know, was trying to hinder the purposes of God. It's a comfort to know that as his people, we have ability to stand. You know, we should expect to stand. We should expect whatever circumstances and situations that we find ourselves in as his people, endeavoring to live for his purposes, endeavoring to carry forth his will on this earth and do our part in it, that we can actually stand. You know, we don't have to be all worried about how pathetic the flesh is. you know, we don't have to be concerned with all the little things that this world throws at us to try to distract us. We can just believe realities like this, that there's a new power within us. And there's a God behind that power. Not only does he strengthen us, but he also delivers us. And we're not just all on our own here, you know. And let's go to Philippians chapter 4. You know, we should just live our lives expecting his help. We should live our lives expecting to be strengthened. Because of where we're at in God's plan, they're just things to endure yet. And it says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, beloved, don't think it's a strange thing concerning this fiery trial that's going to try you. So some strange thing is going on. You know, it's if you keep it in perspective of the plan that God's working out, it's so helpful. You know, and that's another thing. But the one thing, the first point I want to try to emphasize a little bit is even our brother, the Apostle Paul here, he relied on God's strengthening. He relied on the Spirit of God. And God has other means too, by his other workings, by communicating by other believers. But this new power within is something that can really, that is there for our benefit. And we'll start in verse 11. Hang on a second. I'm actually, if you want to follow along, I'm going to read verses 11 through 13, but I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible. Not that I am implying that I was in any personal want, for I have learned to be content, satisfied to the point where I'm not disturbed or disquieted in whatsoever state I am. Verse 12, I know how to be abased and live humbly in straitened circumstances. I know how to enjoy plenty and live in abundance. I have learned in any and all circumstances the secret of facing every situation, whether well fed or going hungry, having a sufficiency and enough to spare, or going without and being in want. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength in me. I am sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. You know, I think sometimes, you know, a challenge with us as being his people is, you know, we don't have the new bodies yet. You know, we're awaiting for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we're alive, we're going to be changed. The dead are going to be raised incorruptible. And we also know very clearly from experience, but from God's word, that, you know, although Jesus Christ has done all the work to defeat the adversary and he's going to bring in the new heaven and the new earth in the future, we know that those things haven't happened yet. So sometimes as a believer, I think, we get tempted. We're under pressure, which the Word of God promises us. And we have these things going on in our head, you know. We get a little challenged, you know, and we just have, you know, a temptation, a sensation. You know, that doesn't mean there's anything wrong with redemption, you know. Until the Lord returns, we're going to be required to just keep believing God. And it doesn't matter how I'm feeling at the moment. It doesn't matter that, oh, this happened to me 30 years ago, you know. Well, what happened? If you believe, God strengthened you, God delivered you, okay. So it happened again. Big shock. You know, we just accepting the fact that temptation is normal. I mean that we're going to face it, not embrace it, you know. Oh, yay. You know? And but all I have to do is keep believing God. And even at those moments when I'm bearing up under pressure by trusting and believing God, even if my brain is being tweaked a little bit and challenged, God can still strengthen me. God doesn't have a problem by the working of His Spirit to do something within me to help me to stand. You know, it isn't like I was thinking about an analogy. And it isn't like, let's say that we're going on a trip and there's an experienced driver and there's a new driver. You know, it isn't like, and it's kind of a long trip. The new driver really is kind of like, okay, I think I can do this, but, you know, I want to do this. It isn't, you know, what would you do if the new driver just, or the old driver just threw the guy the map and said, hey, I'll see you on the other end. You know, that's not how God's working with us. You know, we don't just have all these things so that we can figure it out ourselves. You know, there's still an active involvement of God. There's still an active involvement of an energizing of His Spirit. You know, there's things we get to do with our brain, like keep bringing it back. But when we believe, just like Brian was saying about speaking in tongues, this language comes out. Well, when I believe to be strengthened by God, there should be a literal strengthening that occurs, you know. And that's all part of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, something that we receive. Let's go to along the same line of His glorious power within us in these earthen vessels of ours. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12. And I'm just going to read verses 8 through 10. And, you know, this is a Christian, the Apostle Paul. In his service to God, he underwent tremendous pressure. He felt the heat, as we might say, you know. And this is a situation that was pretty intense. You could go back to chapter 11 and see all these things that he endured for the work of the Lord Jesus Christ for doing those purposes. But the only thing that I want to point out here is he didn't get all bummed out about his flesh in the middle of it, you know, because he didn't count on his own strength. He didn't count on him to get him through it. He expected God and His Lord to work in him and to help him. Verse 8, you know, and basically a summation, the devil was hounding him here. Okay, it's not from God. The devil was really riding Paul here. And this is what the Lord said to him. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I don't know what went on in Paul's mind. I'm sure he was tempted with thoughts like we are. But one thing that's not written down here is he wasn't exalting the weakness of the flesh. He wasn't disqualifying himself because he couldn't handle it himself. He's like, hey, we get to see the power of God work again. We get to see our Lord and our God do something and take care of us. You know? And I'm just thinking about these things because, all those things like that Tom taught the last 3 weeks, all those, that great doctrine, which we're living and want to grow in and live more, you know, God says, right now, right here, in the middle of all this, this is where I want you to live it. You know, this is where I want it manifested, displayed. It makes me think of a verse in Psalm 23. He makes a table for him right in the presence of his enemy. You know, right in his face. You know, and from God's perspective, we got everything. We have everything we need to thrive, basically. You know, to thrive as his people, to accomplish his purposes. And not just to kind of hunker down in a bomb shelter, you know. I watched some shows about London, England during World War II, and you know, most of you probably know general history of that. You know, the Germans used to bomb London all the time. And if you've watched any shows or documentaries on that, you know, people would go into the subway tunnels when the bombing was going on, and they would stay there to be protected. And what really got me thinking about here, all these tribulations, these pressures, you know, God's like right in the middle of them. I can strengthen you. You can keep functioning for me, keep believing me, keep walking. He doesn't really want me, in a sense, to ride out the war in the subway tunnel. You know what I'm saying? You know, and he didn't give these things just so I can get through, you know, so I can make it. Maybe there won't be moments where I just have to catch my breath and be encouraged and stuff, but These things that we are, that we have, are made to be manifested, to be lived, and hey, all the glory goes to God. You know, all the acknowledgement of the power and the strength and the ability goes to God. You know, so here's Paul. Say, hey, here's another chance to see the power of God in action. You know, here's another chance to see Him glorified and Him get me through it. You know, and not too much lamenting over how pathetic the flesh is, you know. So let's go to, he expected strengthening, point one. Now let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 18. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. This is another way that Paul lived his life. He just not only received strengthening from God, expected strengthening from God. Whatever came up, he expected to get delivered, you know. It made me think about Daniel in the lion's den in the Old Testament, which is not the point of this teaching, but here it says, deliver me. I think a lot of times I think will prevent me from being any evil work. You know, I can avoid any evil work. You know, Daniel in the lion's den, we sing that song, God just shut the lion's mouth. He was in the lion's den. It wasn't like, and God just made it so he didn't go in the lion's den. You know, he got thrown in there, and God had no problem shutting the lion's mouth. You know, it was no big deal to God, you know, but by believing, you know. But Paul, he lived his life for God. He underwent pressure. he went underwent temptation and he endured. But he just, let's go to chapter 3. Verse 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions. You know, that entails a lot of stuff. It just means to be pursued. You know, not necessarily thrown in a coliseum with a bunch of lions, but you know, just the devil pursuing after you, just trying to get you to stop believing, you know, whatever form that takes, you know. Afflictions which came to me unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. That's the conclusion. The Lord delivered me, you know. That's just part of our life. We can just live a life expecting God to strengthen us, expecting Him to deliver us, and not just so we get through, but so that we can continue to live these things like is laid out in Ephesians and further His purposes. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 1, excuse me. Verse 8 we'll start in. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our troubles which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we spared even of life. We had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that He will yet deliver us. You know, he wasn't sugarcoating anything. Oh, it's really not that bad. You know, I'm doing okay. You know, he's like, wow, it was heavy, you know. But he said, it's bad. We were challenged here, but we know God's going to deliver us. You know, that's all through the scriptures. You know, the people that believe God, you know, you see them stay put on the word. You see them say, you know what, I'm gonna stay true to my God no matter what you try to do to me, and no matter what pressure you're putting on me. And God likes that. And no matter what the situation is, nothing's too big for Him. You know, He's glad to strengthen us. He's glad to do whatever it takes to deliver us and to not just get us through the war, but help us keep living for Him, keep doing our fulfilling our purpose, our part of the purpose of the ages. And you know, all the stuff we just read, I don't really want to start getting into the hope and the return, but Paul just said, it's a light affliction, you know, compared to the hope of glory. Compared to, you know, just like what Brian was saying, when we get there, God says it's going to be so good that all that stuff that you felt, you went through, you stood through, that I took care of you in, it's not even comparable, you know. I mean, that's God's perspective, you know. I think I will wrap it up in a few minutes here in Ephesians chapter, 6. Microphone. chapter 6. It's not obviously not a teaching on the armor of God, but the verse I wanted to end with is verse 13. With the emphasis on the last two words, to stand. It says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." And I'm going to read this paraphrase of it that a Christian man from the late 1800s wrote. He, a saint that seemed to have a pretty good grasp of the purpose of the ages and carrying them out. He says, "The emphasis on chapter 6 is laid on victory." Note the following paraphrase, which brings out the full force of verse 13. "Wherefore take up with you to the battle the whole armor of God, that you may be able to successfully withstand in the evil day, and having overthrown all foes, to remain unshaken." You know, that's the kind of life we get to live by believing, not by our own strength, but by His strength. We can really live a life without intimidation and without fear. We don't have to fear the flesh, you know, and we don't have to fear all the circumstances that are around us, but we can expect strength from God, and we can expect Him to deliver us no matter what gets thrown at us. So, God bless.
Thanks, Randy. Yeah, you clapped for those guys, so... If you're a visitor, that's an inside joke, okay? I was so blessed with what both men shared, but you know, I've been visiting a number of your home fellowships recently and teaching many of the same things. You know, there are those who say the Christian life is nothing but suffering, 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 getting broken down, and then heaven at the end. And that's not a full picture from God's Word. But then, of course, there are a number of Christians today who teach that just believe on Jesus Christ and all your problems are solved forever. You'll never have another worry or care. And that's not biblical at all, right? Because as he showed us, you know, the Word of God itself speaks of tribulation and of persecution that will occur to those who are born again, and especially those who endeavor to live a godly life in Christ Jesus in this world. However, attached to that persecution is deliverance, right? And if all I'm experiencing is the persecution and not the victory, not the deliverance, then I'm not living the Christian life either. So those two together really give an accurate picture of what this Christian life can and should be. And you know what? You did such a good job on number 122. I think we have to close with that. So why don't you stand up, please? Oh, some of you were standing up happily. Some of you were standing up grumpily. Sorry, but... we're going to do it the way we did it before. Only first and third verses this time. Okay, I'll throw you a bone. First and third verses this time. And number 122, when we all get to heaven. I'll try to start it off again like I did with them, okay?
With the hands.
Okay, when we do this thing, two and four, okay? One, three, one, two, three. Two. Now you can clap now. Sing the wondrous song. wonderful. Thanks for coming today. God bless.